Greetings and salutations, fine people. I'm Patty Alvarez. Welcome to The Good Soul, a show where we'll have supercharged chats with everyday humans from all walks of life and unpack what in their story will inspire us all. We'll extract the untapped wisdom, distill it, and serve it up to you in all the right ways that will engage, enlighten, and most of all, inspire growth within your soul. I think people are awesome. So join me on this journey through the hearts and minds of ordinary people to uncover the good soul within you. This is The Good Soul. Hello, world. Welcome to The Good Soul, episode 15. I am Patty Alvarez, and today's topic is probably my favorite and the one that I'm most excited for. The topic is called What It Feels Like for a Cop. And I am honored and humbled, and I don't even know what words I can kind of put into the universe that will articulate the way I'm feeling right now, but I am so happy to have you here. This is Chief Ron Campricciani of the Mooresville Police Department. So welcome,
Thank you, Chief.
I appreciate you. I appreciate you for being here and everything you do. I'm going to refer to him as Chief because that Campricciani, while it's beautiful, is a bit of a tongue twister, I must say. So anyway, welcome again and big thanks on behalf of all of the citizens of Mooresville, all of the citizens of the universe for what you do. I have this, like, I always have these moments when my parents, God rest their soul, were in the hospital and the nurses would come and go and ICU, and I would say, like, what am I doing with my life? And if I could have a do-over, sometimes it's law enforcement or the military. So yeah, I tip my hat to you, I think, more than anybody. Thanks. So thank you. So I did a little research. You're from West Springfield, Massachusetts?
I am.
Okay. Yes. Yes. Let's talk about your history. What led you into law enforcement? Where did you grow up?
Also? So I grew up in West Springfield.
Right? Okay.
So as far as what drew me, I don't know. You know, I think it's interesting because I think the canned answer, right? We get it. We ask young kids the same thing. They want to join. Why do you want to do this? And everybody says, I want to help people. And I think that's sort of the canned answer. I think there's a lot of truth to that. But if people are being really honest and want to take a real deep look at themselves, they can't give you an answer to that because it's like a calling. It really is. So they can't really have a hard time explaining what it is because I don't think there's one thing. So they always fall back on, well, I want to help people. But it really is. It's kind of like why do you ask people? People go into the priesthood and things like that. Mm-hmm. Same idea, right? It's just something that I didn't have any family that was in it. So it wasn't like I grew up in it, which is a lot sometimes. For a lot of people, that's a reason, right?
Sure.
Grandfather, parents, brothers, sisters, whatever. Wasn't my case. So there is no set thing. It's just something that I always wanted to do.
Wasn't like Starsky and Hutch or something like that, like an idol when you were
a kid.
That
car was pretty cool.
Yeah, so that was a great
Megan
show.
Doesn't know what that is, but you and I do.
I know. Yeah. I brought something. We were talking pre, and I brought something up to her, and I'm like, this is way before your time.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Anyway, it makes me sad, especially when I watch football games. I'm like, I'm supposed to be younger than all of them, and I'm old enough to be their mother. But anyway. Okay, so interesting. So I had my uncle Mike was the chief of police in Keyport, New Jersey, and Michael Kelly. And I just was always so enamored with what they did. And he would take me out in the squad car. And it's exciting. I mean, it's definitely interesting work. So so you come in as a police officer in your early 20s?
Yeah, I was 22.
Okay, 22. Mm-hmm. And what leads you? I see DEA, SRT, Special Response Team.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So I guess when I first started, I was fortunate. I was only out of the academy, probably on the job 6 months. And this was during the Reagan administration's war on drugs campaign that they were doing. And they had this new idea of doing task forces. And the DEA was the first one they thought they could counteract drugs and work on drug crimes regionally, nationally, and internationally. So they formed this task force, and they had one in New England that we were part of. And there were, at the time, there was four in the area. There was, or in the country, there was ours, New York, Miami, and San Diego. Now there's task forces all over the place. Mm-hmm. Task forces for everything. Gang task force, drug task force, fugitive task force, sure. which is the stuff that just happened in Charlotte.
Yes.
All these different task forces, auto theft task forces. But it was a new concept back then because of the surge of drugs coming in, especially into the ports and things like that. So anyway,
sure.
So I was a young kid and they said, hey, we're going to put you in this special unit. And they had this cover story that I had gotten fired and all this other stuff. It was a
really, oh, Lord.
Yeah, it was all this stuff. Lord. So I did that for about 10 years and a long time. And then and traveled all over the place and worked undercover in outlaw motorcycle gangs and organized crime groups and terrorist organizations and
sure.
traveled across the country and went abroad a few times. And so... Yeah, so all of that. And so it was really, as a young kid, too, it was really kind of a cool thing to do.
I'm sure.
You know, and yeah.
So something like the DEA, that goes from the federal government. Do you mm-hmm. go through, like, the FBI to the police state, police departments? Or, like, is there any mid, you work direct with the federal government
that? Yeah, so they would put us on the deals back, and it's still the same now. They would kind of... The city would pay my salary, federal government would pay all the overtime,
okay.
supply all the equipment, cars, manpower, and we had an office that was in downtown Springfield that nobody knew we were there. In fact, we had a name on the door called Star Enterprises.
Oh wow!
And people thought we were a production company that were in the because. You know,
interesting.
We would walk out with bags and stuff, and that's what people thought because we were in an office building. So it was all secret stuff, and
you wore street clothes.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So you're saying your overtime was funded by the federal government. Mm-hmm. All the training,
everything was done by the federal government. Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's really interesting, and mm-hmm. that program still obviously stands today,
yep.
and
mm-hmm.
as you said, has kind of branched out into other areas.
Yeah, it's been streamlined and a lot more. There's a lot more safeguards in it than when I was doing it.
Yeah.
It's just grown, right? And like I said, now there's task forces for everything now. But it's just a multi-jurisdictional things. The bottom line for all this stuff is they're multi-jurisdictional. It's a way to bring in, you know, have all these... Because what they found over the years is that local police departments, state police departments, the federal agencies, sometimes you're crossing swords and you're working on the same people and
mm-hmm.
it just causes a mess. So they said, listen, why don't we form these task forces, bring
yes.
everybody in, bring the players,
yes.
whatever that is, right? Bring the players in and then we don't run into this
sure.
stuff of.
Yeah. What I brought up to Megan was the movie, The Fugitive,
mm-hmm.
when they got to the crime scene and Tommy Lee Jones is standing there and I want you to search every hen house, outhouse. Remember that? But they were kind of butting heads. Like, mm-hmm. who's in charge around
right.
here?
And,
yeah.
Right.
So.
Iron Man.
Yes.
Yep.
Iron Man. So, okay, cool. So yeah, I want to get into, we have less than a minute left, but
sure.
maybe on that note, we can get into on the next segment. What's the difference between the sheriff's department, the police department, and how that impacts us here in Mooresville? So, I want to thank you again. We're down one segment and that was great. I learned a lot and I'm excited to learn more. So guys, don't go away. We will be back and we're here again with Chief Ron Camperciani of the Mooresville Police Department. See you in a few. Hey everybody, welcome back. The Good Soul. Segment two, we are talking what it feels like for a cop. I am here with Chief Frank Camperciani of the Mooresville Police Department. And the questions are like bubbling out. And I'm sure everybody listening feels the same way. Like, what a cool thing. And I don't mean to trivialize at all fighting crime, but what an interesting topic that you started telling stories during the break that Manny and I can change it's really exciting. So we left off on something not quite as cool as what we were talking about on the break, but sheriff's department versus police department. And how does that affect us in Mooresville?
Well, it actually, how it affects Mooresville's, I think you're getting double coverage. So it affects you in a good
way.
Yeah. So that was a little new to me because from Massachusetts, we have sheriffs, but they only handle the jails. They don't really have any law enforcement power up there. They have they've gotten some over the past few years, but very limited in scope. And they pretty much handle the jails. And that's it. We're down here and in the South, it's a Southern thing. And in California too, sheriffs are, you know, full service, like they're like police departments. Besides having the jail, they have police, they have, you know, officers, they have detectives, they have all the things. Sure. So it's very similar. So
can I just ask you quickly? So we have a lot of viewers in the Northeast. Mm-hmm. Could you relate that to say a state trooper?
So maybe? It'd be like a state trooper. So and I'm not sure how like Jersey's set up, but I'm probably similar. So yeah. So for where I came from, so the state police of Massachusetts has the guys that ride the highways and stuff. And then they also have detectives that are assigned to all the district attorney's offices up there that'll be like the investigators.
Okay.
Similar thing. If that helps people straighten their head, yeah, that's a good analogy.
So the district attorney has their own detectives along with the police force?
They have detectives from the state police that are assigned there that work like either major crimes or, you know, in every area, you know, you have small towns and things like that that may have a force of one or two people or something. It can't do things like that or mm-hmm. need that help for the investigation. So,
okay. All right. And then, you know, you guys show up, fires, mm-hmm. first aid, you know, cat and tree, you guys are first to show up. So I'm assuming everybody has to be trained in some type of medical response.
Yes.
How does that work? Because we touched a little bit on, you know, who's in charge around here. Mm-hmm. So you show up and you kind of just keep everything under control mm-hmm. while the sure. proper.
And we tried to, and so about 2 years ago too, because to that point, I knew there was a need for it because we're out there. So we outfitted all our cars with defibrillators. We didn't have those before.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Because you never know. Right.
Yeah.
And we're out there. I mean, literally, something could happen. We can be right across the street. So I thought it was important to get all those in all our cars. So we have them out there.
Okay. So I have a friend whose husband is a Mooresville Police Department, police officer. And I had said to her, what are some good questions that we can ask? Can you ask him what he thinks? And the two-car policy, which I thought was really mm-hmm. interesting. So mm-hmm. you get called on an incident. Two people are required to go.
Mm-hmm. So that's something that I was foreign to me when I got down there, that they did not do that. Because we've always done that. We've always done that up there. Car, you go on a call, you send two guys. If a car is a car stop, somebody's going, that's the closest, or dispatch will tell them to go there. And so that was just common. That was not in place when I got down here, which was very odd to me that they didn't do that. So, and of course, I came down. There was a lot of stuff going on with the police department back then, but the final straw was Jordan Sheldon being killed. And so my deal was to, you know, take a look at things and do whatever needed to be done. And when I found out they weren't doing that, that is literally the thing I did on the second day I was here. We changed that. I said, this is crazy, especially after what just happened. You know, Jordan got killed, but, you know, he got in the parking lot in Randy Marion's dealership, and there was guys checking cars like they should have been. There was another guy just, I mean, yards away from him that, now I'm not suggesting that if they had been there, Jordan wouldn't have been ended up getting killed, but I don't think they would have gotten both of them. So, but that, and it's not to blame anybody then. That was just that was the system, how it worked.
Of course.
But it doesn't work. So that's why that was the little, I mean, I spent all day getting caught up on where Mooresville was. And Tuesday, that was the very first thing I did, because that was shocking to me that they didn't do that here.
Were you here then? Were you chief then at that point?
I was acting. It was a 6-month deal for me to come down here.
Okay. And did I hear they put you on a no-fly list? In other words, you can't leave more.
That's they say that inside. Yeah. That's sort of a common theme.
That's funny. Yeah, yeah. Well, listen, you don't want to let a good man go. Yeah. So is it, just to be clear, is it two officers in a car or two cars pull up?
Two cars
pull up.
To everything.
And just for The safety of the officer.
Just for safety purposes.
Safety. Okay.
They also had, used to do a thing called silent dispatch, which I stopped too. So they would do it for non-emergency calls, which is basically they would send a message over there, you know, from the computer to their computer. Like say a lady got their keys locked out of their car, right? They go to Publix and they would just type the message and they would go. And I went, we're stopping that.
Yeah.
Because we don't know where officers are. And I said, we had a situation once where something similar to that, a lady had locked her car's keys in her car and go down there and they try to do that silent dispatch stuff too, which is crazy. Anyway, the guy gets down there and there's a domestic going on two cars away and this guy's really beating up his wife bad. And so he goes out and now he's got it in with the guy and he's calling for help and nobody knows where he is. Nothing with dispatch. So, I mean, it's a little easier now because we have automatic, we know where every car is in the city in our computer system. But I said, we're calling out on the radio. I want everybody to know where everybody is at one time. There's none of this secret stuff, but we're not going to know where people are. So we had to change that too.
Well, with today's technology, it's like I could go on Snapchat, sure, which I don't. I'm 51 years old and find out where, right, like my friend from high school,
sure,
is. Right. You know, exactly. Oh, she's having ice cream in Santa Monica.
Right. Exactly.
I mean, so the technology is, right, probably very helpful to you guys,
it
too,
sure,
I would imagine.
Right.
Yeah. So applications, how is that? And I mean, with all this, you know, stuff going on, let's,
sure,
say, in the world.
Yeah. It's funny because I sit on a board for the international chiefs all over the world.
Yep, I just read that.
And so we have this conversation. It always comes up, right? Because they're a place that are struggling. And I always feel kind of a little sheepish when those questions come up because we're not having that problem.
Okay.
We're getting people that we want to get in here. But more importantly is because we don't have that problem, we don't have to take just anybody. And so we can be very selective. We just turned away a couple of people last week that we thought were going to work. And then they come to see me. I give them an offer. I talk with them. And it just wasn't going to be the right fit. So thanks and no thanks.
So how does that, it's almost like I feel like falling in love. Like you know or you don't know. It's a certain type of person.
Pretty much.
What would... you feel like some people might be too soft or like.
Well, I think, you know, so you have to be mind, you know, you have to understand there's all different skill levels, right? So everybody's not going to be, you're going to have the hard chargers, you're going to have other people, you know, the police department is made up of all different types of personalities, type A mostly, but which causes its own issues. So you try to get a feel for people. You're not always right, but at some point, you know, they have to go to BLET, which is like the police academy here. And then we have a very extensive field training program that lasts like 12 weeks after they get out. So if I can't get a read, I mean, I read people usually very quickly, but if I can't get a read off of somebody, it'll come out in that process. It always does.
You are who you are
and you can only stay under the radar for so long. If you're some type of, you're going to pop up because in our field training program, right, they're out with, and they're being hit with stressful situations, and who they are is going to come out.
Sure. So BLAT is how long? You said follow up is 12 weeks.
Yeah, it's about, that's probably like 5 months now.
5 months. And is that exclusive to Mooresville Police, or
no,
is there an academy where everybody goes to become a cop and they go back to their town?
They do. They have them. So the way they do them here is they have them at all the community colleges do it. So that Mitchell has a campus here. They do one up in Statesville at their campus, and there's one in Piedmont. So they're all over the place, and people, that's where they go. So they get trained there, and then they come back to us or wherever they're going to get hired from.
Okay. So switching back and personalities, Megan had told me before the show that you have three assistant chiefs, which to that I said, that sounds like that's probably very helpful because of the different personality types.
Well,
how does that work?
It was more done for the structure of the police department.
Okay.
And that was one of the things when I got here, one of the things I looked at, the structure they had didn't work. And what I mean by that, they had what's called a tall hierarchy, which is kind of interesting because we talk about hierarchies and flattening out organizations and doing all that stuff. And really, it's not a police model. It's a business model, actually. So okay. It's a business model. So what they had in Mooresville when I got here was they had a chief, they had a deputy chief, they had two majors, and they had captains down there. So it's like a pyramid. And what happens is when you have people at the top of that, of the food chain, let's say, for lack of a better term, that aren't doing what they're supposed to do or are slow or not getting things done, it's like a drain, right? Clogs up, mm-hmm. everything clogs up. And you got people below you going, what are we doing? And so it stymies that. It can shut down a whole organization. Okay. So personalities aside and people aside, when I looked at it, I said, the structure doesn't work here. So we're going to flatten out the organization. So that's why I made, so you have myself, and then we have three assistant chiefs, and then you have the captains and sergeants, everybody comes under that.
Okay. Yeah. Hold that thought. We need to take a break. Okay. So we're going to pick up right where we left off, guys. Don't go away. Coming up in our next segment, we're going to talk about why the police deserve our respect, our admiration, and gratitude. So don't go away. We'll see you in a few. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to The Good Soul. We are on episode 15, What It Feels Like for a Cop. And we're here with Chief Ron Campercini from the Mooresville Police Department. And he is giving us so much really interesting and important information. We had left off with talking about the hierarchy and the three assistant chiefs. Mm-hmm. Of the three assistant chiefs, do you all have three separate types of responsibilities?
Yes. Or? Yes.
Okay.
So let me just touch on, so I don't forget. So when you flatten out an organization like that, mm-hmm. what you do is you push down decision making to the lower places, so things will run much quicker. And then people are at the lower ranks are making decisions. They're very capable of making and should be making. But in the other structure, they had to run everything up. They had to run everything up the chain of command.
Okay.
And so it just doesn't work. So it gives everybody buy-in, right?
Right.
To what they're doing, and they can make these decisions because they're going to get promoted up or go for. They want to be a sergeant, want to be a captain, whatever they want to be. If they haven't been making those decisions before, they're going to be lost when they get into these things. So the structure didn't work. So back to your question. So I have the first assistant chief is over the whole patrol division. He has all the uniform things, which is sort of the biggest thing.
Okay.
He has all the patrol guys. He's responsible for everything that happens with them, all the captains. He has captains meetings monthly to meet any... all the stuff that goes into that.
So morale,
everything
unity.
That has to do with that.
Okay.
And then the second assistant chief has, communications, outreach, which is our like community policing guys. He has the SRT team.
What is that?
The special response team. He also is in charge of our, he's over logistics, which is like our armor, all our equipment, everything like that. So that's a big, that's, millions of dollars in equipment and money and things like that. Okay. The third assistant chief has CID, which is all the investigators, narcotics, the SROs that are in schools. We have public safety officers that are out there.
What is a CRD?
CID is like, is like detectives.
And SROs?
School resource officers.
Oh, great. Okay.
So he has all cool. that. So they have all their different areas of responsibilities. And so they focus on those. We have staff meetings weekly and they catch me up to speed on stuff that I need to know. I mean, a lot of this stuff, I understand what's going on anyway, but there's little things that they have their own areas of responsibility and I'm not micromanaging them. And so they come to me, obviously, if there's issues that rise to my level that they think I need to know or that I need to address. If not, they handle it.
Okay.
And it just makes the system work much better.
Sure. Can you give me an example of what type of decision somebody low on the totem pole would have to make?
So it may be, so we have corporals, right? They may be working one night. A corporal is all our field training officers. So they train all the new kids. But let's say a sergeant, somebody may call and say, hey, I just got stopped by one of your officers and he was very rude to me. And okay, man, let me get your name. Let me find out who the officer is. Let me see what we can find out. They'll talk, they'll call him back. And usually, most of the time, 90% of the time, probably more, people just want to be heard, and they just want you to get back to them and, mm-hmm. you know, listen to them and see what they have to say. And we'll say, listen, you're right. It won't happen again. Shouldn't happen. Whatever it is. So they'll handle that. So that doesn't need to get run up to me. And you know, and a lot of times people will call. Everybody wants to talk to the chief, but nobody needs it. But nobody needs to talk to me. You know what I mean? So I think that's.
So you have three more that you can call.
Well,
chief
I think
now.
It's an important distinction because yeah. It doesn't. Like I said, everybody goes, oh, I have a problem. I want to talk to the chief. I get it. But they don't need to talk to me. And really, but it's not about, you know, it's not about shoveling them off or not. I don't want to talk to them. It's, I know it's going to happen. It's going to say, let's just assume they have a complaint about somebody. And then if I take it, then I have to give it to the assistant chief that may be over patrol. And he's got to give it to his captain that happens to be on that shift. And so it goes on and on and on. So my administrative assistant will find out what exactly is their issue. What are they talking about? And then I can, okay, have them call this person or have them call this person. And it's not for me. I'm not fluffing them off. But we can get them a more direct answer by doing that because I'm going to have to seek through and get it. It's much easier. Give it to the people that were there. Sure. They'll talk to you about it and they'll handle it.
Sure.
It's okay. Much easier.
Makes perfect
sense. But it works for them. It's not just for us either. It gets them a quicker answer. It gets them a quicker resolution to whatever it is they need.
Okay. So if anybody has any issues, they call the non-emergency number sure. and say, what's the best place for us to go? Yeah. And I saw on your Facebook page, which is phenomenal, by the way. I think we should have you on separately, Megan. Megan is works with Chief because I'm sure if anybody from Mooresville knows, they are the best posts ever. I think they're fantastic. I said when I figured out who you were, I said, please let me shake your hand.
Facebook is pretty cool, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. I think it's fantastic. I mean, moving away from home, I feel connected. I think it's a fantastic tool. So like anything, I think people abuse it and could be kind of use it, but that's like, and you know better than anybody. So, you know, you make these promises and you say to yourself, like, I don't want to get controversial. Everybody has their opinions on things. But one thing that really stands out to me, I was always taught to love the cops. The cops are on your side. They're your friend. When you get pulled over, you do what they tell you to do. And I've everything's been fine. I can't say I've never been arrested. I was at the wrong place at the wrong time. The charges got dropped. I was in high school and I was at the wrong party and it was fine. So I know I can't say I have a squeaky clean record. No, I don't have a criminal record. But so we complied and we weren't doing anything wrong. And life went on. Somewhere around June of 2020, I was watching the news and I will never forget the man's face. Like close up shot of him. And I heard him say three words. Defund the police. And it was like the blood drained I had this like vision, you know, they say like when you die, like, I'm like, what would happen? Like what would happen to the bad guys? Like what would go on? So do you mind speaking a little bit about
sure.
that?
Well, I think in some areas, right, you're seeing the residual.
They're eating crow.
That.
Yeah.
No,
they're
how'd
that
not,
work out? Yeah.
Yeah. It's not, well, I mean, it wasn't a good idea then. It hasn't gotten any better. It's not like wine, right? It's not getting any better. And you know, I think to that, listen, I get it. And some of it, I get people, you know, they see a 8-second body cam video on tape that never looks good. But I can tell you that nobody is more bothered by that stuff than really good police officers because they have to listen to that. They have to listen about some nonsense that some idiot did in Michigan or somewhere, right? Mm-hmm. Kalamazoo mm-hmm. or wherever, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter. That did the wrong thing, right? Absolutely. It's indefensible. We get it too. Mm-hmm. But these guys have to listen to it. These men and women I have here have to listen to that nonsense. So they're more outraged in a lot of ways in the community because the people we hire here come to work every day and try to do the right thing. Listen, we don't always get it right because we're human. We're always going to make, and I think humans at some level are going to disappoint you too, right?
Agreed.
And so they get upset by that because we try to do the right things here and they're very good at what they do. And if they're not, they're not going to be here very long. So, yeah. But like I said, my point is they get more aggravated than that than people.
That we do.
Because they have to listen to it. They have to listen to, well, justify that. And they can't, we don't justify it. We don't try to put a coat on it, right? It's just horrible. But don't bring it to us. I mean, we get it. We're just as outraged as everybody else.
Well, you have entire departments, internal affairs, is it called, that are dedicated to these issues. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure, I mean, I can't say you probably don't have to deal. I mean, I think I said to you earlier, you could probably write a book on the things that you've seen and experienced. But, you know, it kind of gets back to being human also, that what you guys have to encounter, like Officer Sheldon is a great example mm-hmm. of what you have to encounter. So I was talking to a friend of mine the other day who had said, and we can, if you don't mind, get into this on the next segment. This is why they show up defensive with guns. What happened in Charlotte on Monday night is proof positive. So they have to show up somewhat with a hard exterior per se. And
yeah, and I have a good, we'll talk about that because I want to make a point on that because I think it's important. But just to on this defund the police stuff too, one more thing, you know, here's the thing. When I started and a lot of us started, the police mission used to be pretty simple. And this goes along the lines, I think, where the defund the police movement's coming from or came from. Our mission was pretty simple. It was, we tackled crime and disorder. That's what we did. And that had been the case up until just the last couple of years. And America has kind of let the disorder piece go. And so you see in large cities that are having the inner cities have just collapsed and they're letting the stuff and burning and looting and just, they take, you know, cities of just major cities of just a lot of them have just, people are fleeing those cities and they've let the disorder piece go. And now they're seeing the byproduct of it, right? They're seeing tax bases leave and they're seeing residents flee. And so all that stuff is happening. Quite frankly, America's going to decide what they want from us on that end. So, and that's a big problem now, and that's going to be years to, in some of those places that have given away parts of their city.
Sure.
They're never coming back.
Again, I have to cut you off. We'll be back in a few. We're going to continue on segment four. We're going to pick up right where we left off. So don't go away, family. We'll be back. Welcome back to The Good Soul, episode 15, What It Feels Like for a Cop. I really grappled with the name of this episode. I also wanted to say Good Soul Backs the Blue, which is another one, but I'll find a way to get that message through. So we're back and talking again with the Chief of Police of Mooresville, Chief Camper. Oh, I knew it. Camperciani. Yes. You're so suave. You're so mellow. I'm like, see, Chief C. We could do that. No, I'm half Italian, so I should be able to say that word with no effort. So we left off talking about the defund the police mm-hmm. and kind of what's going on in our beautiful American cities, which is, it's just unthinkable, very sad to see. And, you know, they say, oh, what you see on the news. But no, I have people walk in and out of the studio every day who say, I just got back from this city or that city. And God, it was so sad. There was tents everywhere. I was afraid to go out after dark. It's not just on the news. So tell me then, what can we do as citizens of America or Mooresville?
Well, I think, you know, it's analogous to what I just said about what do they want from us? Right. Mm-hmm. People have to at some point decide how they want to live and when is enough enough. Right. And I think you're seeing some of that now where you're seeing these places, you're seeing places going, listen, we can't, you know, major box stores are pulling out a lot of these cities. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so why wouldn't they? They're losing. They're just giving the place away. They're not set up for that. So,
of course.
So whatever that looks like. You know, I'm probably the most apolitical guy you'll ever meet, right? I just call balls and strikes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
love it.
And so yeah. I don't, so whatever, red, blue, I don't really care. You got to look at the overall picture of mm-hmm. what's going on. And like I said, America has to decide what they want and how they want to live and what's that look like for them. And so they have to make those decisions. If that's voting, then go vote. If it's money or something, or putting more budgets, money into municipal budgets, then maybe that's the key. I can't answer that question because those people that live in those areas have to decide that on their own. Mm-hmm. What do they want? What do they want to deal with? When is enough for them? And what does it look like for them moving forward? And how do they do that? And I think that looks different in every place, to be honest with you.
I think another big point, and I talk about this a lot with my teacher friends, is the golden rule. Real simple. Every religion pretty much follows something similar. And parenting is to really take responsibility as a parent to make sure that your kids understand accountability and respecting authority and their fellow citizens and so forth. So, I mean, I'm sure you would agree with that.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and it's... And it is. Home's a big thing, and that's a whole thing. We could talk for hours on that, you know. And it's all about you have social media now. We had social media, and just when you said that, so I have twin daughters, right, that are 18, and they're going to go to college next year. But it's funny because they'll be in the house, and you know, always on the phone. I'll go.
Congratulations, by the way.
Yes. Yeah,
are they going to the same college as twins?
Not.
Oh,
they're
wow.
Not.
Okay. Interesting.
So, yes, they are not.
So, they're not.
But you know, they'll be on their phones, and I don't have one of these, like, no phones in a house policy, but when we're talking and having them, put the phones up, right? And a couple of times they've said, well, Dad, it's 2024. I said, yeah, let me tell you something. It's 2024 out there. In this house, it's 1950. Put the phones down.
Yes. High fives. Yes. That is a tweetable moment. It is 2024 out there. Yeah, that's, I agree. Well, we have an old saying too in our house. We always say, this is not a democracy. This is a dictatorship, period. Which I think is, I mean, again, like you said, we could do a whole episode. We could do 10 episodes on this. But I think that the accountability and the hard lines and all that and the standards.
Sure. But to all that point, not to repeat myself, but really, America's going to decide when is enough for them, right? When is enough, and how do they want to live? And of course, for us, from the policing model, the biggest thing we have, I mean, not here, we're very lucky, but in those cities, right, that people are fleeing. You know, they say 1,000 people a day are moving into North Carolina. So, but the cities they're fleeing from, and businesses are leaving and people are leaving. What does that look like? We look at it, like I say, what does policing look like in those cities? What's it going to look like in those cities with no money and no tax base and things like that? Because that's coming. It's as people leave and leave and leave, they're not the houses that are for the people that leave. They're not being, those houses aren't being sold in a day like they are here. So what does that look like in the future for them?
I wish that's a problem that we can solve in a paragraph. I mean, I guess we could if we whittled it down, but that's heavy. That's heavy. Well, that's heavy. Well, we know that, but I mean, that among many other things, our moral compass too, I think needs a bit of a, but okay. So Mooresvillians, let's talk about, I have some fun kind of things that our citizens can participate in. Coffee with a cop.
Mm-hmm.
I love. So does that hop around town?
We have at all different places. This Saturday we'll be at Down with Donuts, Down for Donuts,
yes.
Which is a really cool place.
Okay.
Really cool place.
What time on Saturday?
9 o'clock.
You could talk. That's okay. 9 o'clock. So down for donuts or
down
for donuts,
yes.
9 o'clock on Saturday, coffee with a cop. That's great. And that would be Saturday the 4th.
Yes.
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 Which is also the anniversary of
5 years for Jordan Shelton.
5 years for Jordan Shelton. So that I'm sure will be a special. Maybe we could do yoga with a cop here. Would you guys be interested in something like that? Or we could do coffee. We could do like juices with a cop or kombucha with a cop or something like that. Something to consider.
Sure.
To be continued, Megan.
Sure.
And then I love the job Megan does with the Facebook page. I read about the Target Run, which is done. Is that done just Christmas? Or?
Yes. So it's called Heroes and Helpers.
Okay.
Is what we call it. And we get, so how that works is we get the names from the school system of what they think are the most underprivileged families that they have in their school system and people that would need the most help and would, you know, because a lot of these kids would not have Christmas if it wasn't for us. So we try to get 30. We try to, some years we've had 40, sometimes we've had a little less. 20 to 30 is what we try to cap it at. And so we'll bring the families in and the kids. We give them breakfast in the morning at our place. And then we tell the parents, okay, come and get your kids at whatever time. Oh. And we put them in vans or whatever we need. And then they have all, and we assign them. Each officer takes a kid.
Yeah.
The guys sign up, guys and the girls sign up to do this, and they assign them. We assign them a kid. They get a kid. I take a kid. My family comes with me. And so we put the kids in vans and we turn on all our blue lights and we go up the,
oh, no
we
way.
Go up one a big procession smiles. Up 150. We did learn though, my first year here was right after Jordan Sheldon got killed, and we did that, and people were blowing up the switchboard and dispatch.
Is everything okay?
Did something happen again? Yeah. Did we miss it? Another cop get killed?
And no.
Went, whoops.
We're giving out Christmas gifts.
Exactly. So we take them up to Target and so they have $250 to spend, and we let the kid. They have, and we'll get a list from the parents of what they need because they can't be all about toys and stuff like that. So they need boots and they need jackets and they need sweaters, whatever you need. So we'll get them all that. But what's funny is that the other thing, which is never publicized because it's not important to us, but it's just part of it. Every kid goes over. Right. Every kid goes over.
Of course.
So we all dig
especially
into our
the
own,
girls.
We all dig into our own pockets. So each cop takes out their money and pays the difference, you know.
Yeah.
Geez, my kid went over about $200 last year. And what are you gonna do? Right? How you say
of
no.
Course,
and then
please.
And then when the family comes back, we give the family $100 gift card to Aldi's. So they can buy food and then we raise money for that. There's a organization in Mooresville called F3.
Okay.
They're Faith Fellowship and they're going to be mad at me. Faith Fellowship and Family, maybe.
Okay.
But they're very, very good. And they raise all this money and they've been the big raisers for us in the last few years. And they come out with us too. They raise the funds of this, funnel the money through the Salvation Army.
Okay.
So we're not taking the money in directly. They're a nonprofit. We do all that and give out the gift cards and all that stuff. So it's a pretty
awesome. And then I just want to touch two more things real quick. Just the dates for the next Citizens Academy. Do we have that yet or it'll be in the spring of next year? Okay. And what can you just give me a quick like 20-second?
It runs 13 weeks and they come in every Tuesday night from 6 to 9 and we hit on different things every night. They'll learn about different part of the police department. One night it might be all about dispatch and what works in there. Then the K-9 unit will come in and do their things. The investigators will come in and do that. They'll set up a mock crime scene so they can sort of get their hand in.
We are so doing that.
Yeah.
We are so in. Okay. And we only have 1 minute left. Oh, man. Just want to touch on what happened on Monday night in Charlotte.
Yeah.
We lost four.
We did. It's horrible. It happens. It's horrible. And here's, I think, the point I want to make in all this. We could talk. There's a million things.
Of course. And they've read it all.
The soundbite on this would be this. Because I think people have a misconception. When these things happen, and you see cops getting shot, and people, there's a misconception out there that we're in control of these situations. We are not in control of these situations. We try to control them, but we're not. And so we just had a shooting just recently, not too long ago. We had a guy get shot at the hospital. We ended up having to shoot and kill a man at the hospital. Mm. He drops his gun. He picks it back up. Why? Who knows? Rearms himself. And so if he leaves the gun there, none of us we're all going home, right? Mm-hmm. This never happens. Same thing in a lot of these scenarios. We give commands. We do things. They don't want to follow for whatever that reason is. I don't know what it is. It changes with everything. There's a misconception like we're in control and we do all this. No, we try to take control. They just don't want to do what we're telling them to do for whatever reason. Yeah. They're mad. Well, I don't know what it is, but then they push the envelope and they do things like this. And, you know, that's horrible. What happened? It's horrible that guy, he got killed too. There's no winners here. Right. And,
of course.
But at the end of the day, we're going home too. Right. We're going home. So when that,
God willing,
when they take it to that next level, well, we don't want that. I don't know of any cop that I've been doing this 39 years. I've never met a cop in my life that goes into work and says, boy, you know, today's the day I hope I get to shoot somebody.
Oh,
nobody
God,
says
no.
that. Nobody says that. But I think some people that I think they think that. Right.
Thank you for saying that. I think that is so powerful and so important for people to understand. And I think if you don't understand that, you definitely have to do more research So on that note, I hate to do this, but I have to cut this short. But thank you so much, not only for showing up here today, but I'll say it again. On behalf of all of the citizens of this town of West Springfield, Massachusetts, and of the world, thank you for doing what you do. We have so much more to learn from you. So perhaps we can make this a regular. And doesn't always have to be you. I know you're busy, but we'd love to have you guys back. And I would love for people to be able to hear just a sit down, chat and chill conversation. Because sadly, not everybody can get out of their house to go to the coffee with a cop. So, or maybe we can have coffee with the cop episode. But anyway, I want to thank you guys all for tuning in. It was probably my favorite episode. And again, I feel like I'm sitting amongst royalty. So thank you, everybody. Sending much love, peace. Thanks for tuning in. Check us out on all your major platforms. And we'll see you next time on The Good Place.